The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Just then a lawyer stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he said, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? What do you read there?" He answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have given the right answer. Do this, and you will live." But wanting to justify himself, he asked Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers, who stripped him, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. Now by chance a priest was going down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So likewise the Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, while traveling, came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, having poured oil and wine on them. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said, 'Take care of him. And when I come back, I will repay you whatever more you spend.' Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers?" He said, "The one who showed him mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today's story of the Good Samaritan from the Gospel of Luke is very well known, even making it into today's culture. The term Good Samaritan has become synonymous with charitable do-gooders. We've got hospitals named Good Samaritan. There's an international Christian relief program called Samaritan's Purse. Alabama has a Good Samaritan law offering immunity for the one who is doing good. The New York Post even has a Good Samaritan website that lists current examples of Good Samaritans, like the kind-hearted NYPD cops who paid for shoplifters' food, or the Taco Bell employees who are praised for helping a stranded elderly customer. Jewish author Amy Jill Levine writes that the words good and Samaritan, though, are actually an oxymoron. The Jewish audience would never have expected the Jewish Jesus who told this story to put the words good and Samaritan together. The Jews hated the Samaritans, not just disliked or preferred not to be around, but hated for centuries. None of the Samaritans, none of them were considered to be good. Jesus, it seemed, had picked out the most unlikely of characters to make a point. Jesus also made the unlikeliest of the characters the hero. The lawyer asks Jesus what he must do to inherit eternal life. "Love your neighbor as yourself," Jesus replies. "Then who is my neighbor?" the lawyer asks. "Who is my neighbor?" Levine says that for the lawyer to ask, "Who is my neighbor?" is actually a polite way of asking, "Who is not my neighbor?" Or, "Who does not deserve my love?" Or even, "Whom can I hate?" The answer Jesus gives the lawyer is, "No one. Everyone deserves to be loved." Levine continues, in Hebrew, the words neighbor and evil share the same consonants. Those two words, neighbor and evil, only differ in their vowels. And ancient Hebrew texts don't have vowels. So in this story of the Good Samaritan, then, Jesus tells the Jews that loving our neighbor means loving our enemies too, even the Samaritans. He tells them to love not only the person who lives next door, the one down the street, but to love our neighbors is also to love our enemies. It can be really easy to say, love your enemies, but if you've ever had to actually do it, wow, you know that it's really hard. Why does Jesus call us to do this then? What happens when we love our enemy? What happens is that we can alter the course of history. We can change a life, one person at a time. Pastor Delmer Chilton uses a story as reported on BBC.com to illustrate how this can happen. It's such a great story that I want to share it with you today. Keisha Thomas, an African-American 18-year-old, was there when 17 members of the Ku Klux Klan held a rally in her hometown of Ann Arbor. The typically liberal town was an unusual place for the KKK to gather, and over 300 showed up to tell the KKK that they were not welcome there that day. Police dressed in riot gear and armed with tear gas protected that small group of 17 KKK members who were dressed in white robes and white hoods. Keisha Thomas stood with the anti-KKK demonstrators on the other side of a fence. The atmosphere was very tense, but it was controlled until a woman with a megaphone shouted, "There's a Klansman in the crowd." They turned to see a white middle-aged man wearing a Confederate flag t-shirt with an SS tattoo in the middle of them. He tried to walk away, but the protesters, including Thomas, followed just to chase him out. It was unclear whether this man was part of the KKK, but to the anti-KKK protesters, his t-shirt and tattoo represented exactly what they came to resist. Those symbols were enough to enrage the crowd. When the man realized what was beginning to happen, he began to run, but he was knocked to the ground. A group surrounded him, kicking him and hitting him with the wooden sticks from the placards that they were holding. Mob mentality took over. Although this man was wrong for the views that he sanctioned, let's be very clear that the protesters were also in the wrong for their violence against him. So Keisha Thomas, still in high school, threw herself on top of this man that she did not know and protected him from the blows. Later she said it felt like an angel had lifted her up and laid her down on top of him. At the sight of a black teenager protecting a man wearing a Confederate t-shirt with an SS tattoo, at the sight of that, the beating stopped. The mob began to disperse. The violence was halted and turned in a new direction. The photo of Thomas on top of this man, screaming for his protection, was one of Life magazine's Pictures of the Year in 1996. The student photographer who took the picture said, "Who does that in this world?" Huffington Post reports that Thomas has never heard from the man that she saved, but she did once meet a member of his family. Months later, someone came up to her in a coffee shop and said a single word, "Thanks." "What for?" she asked. The man replied, "That was my dad." Who is the last person in the world we want to pull us out of a ditch or give us CPR? Who is the last person in the world that we want to have to thank? We can say we love our enemies, but if you've ever had to do it, wow, you know that it's hard. Which is actually why the story of the Good Samaritan is a call to action. Barbara Brown Taylor, in her sermon entitled The Right Answer, talks about how during seminary, she would go to the bottom floor of the library where only the moths hung out. And she would spend hours and hours studying there. There's a particularly thorny theologian by the name of Karl Barth, who most in seminary are required to read. Barth is a deep thinker, very dense and complex writer, but he's brilliant. Taylor says that she would spend hours alone in the basement of the library reading Barth over and over, reading his work until she got it. Then, knowing she was alone in the library, she would often shout out with serious joy, "I get it, I understand." And then she'd leave the library and walk back out onto campus. What always puzzled her was that despite the fact that she had just wrestled with Barth for hours, despite her new understanding of some element of Christianity, no matter how smart or insightful she now was, nothing in the world had changed. When she left the library, the trees stood there just as they had before. The leaves still swirled in the wind. The other students still hung around reading or listening to music or tossing frisbees back and forth. Nothing had changed. Her knowledge, her enlightenment, it didn't change a thing until she put her knowledge into action. The Samaritan walking by wouldn't have changed a thing if he knew he should help, but didn't take action. Keisha Thomas couldn't have changed her small part of the world if she knew the mob was wrong, but didn't take any action. The young lawyer in the parable today asked what he must do to inherit eternal life. Barbara Brown Taylor summarized the answer well: do love and live. Amen.